Good morning. Okay, I think it's working. Okay, good. Yeah. I never use this kind of thing, you know. So. Wow, it's so beautiful. I was hoping that I will have translation here, but I don't know, maybe not today. Okay. We can have, yeah. I always... Sometimes we have even two translations, you know, you go to some places and you have different groups of people. And then I think in Moldova I spoke in English, and then we had Romanian, we had Russian, and then we had a lady translate in German, you know, sometimes, you know, but usually I spoke in Romanian. But you have to be ready, because you want people to come to church not only to look and smile at you, but you want them to understand what you're saying, right? So, greetings from my wife. She's in, right now, can I say that? She's in Russia. Uh-oh. Am I getting in trouble or something? No. Okay, so she's visiting family. She wanted to be here. But because of the situation with the war, it's really not easy to get in and out. So you can please keep her in prayer. You remember her name? Who remember her name? Okay, let's see. Okay, who knows the chocolate cream starts with N and has two L in the middle? Who knows that? Nutella. But you know, my wife's name is Nutella. Okay, so this will be like an exam for you for next year, okay? So I will ask you again. Yeah, it's easy to remember because, you know, there are very few people on this earth who doesn't like Nutella, okay, the chocolate cream. So, yeah. But anyway, she's doing well. I spoke to her today, and she has opportunities to share the gospel with her family. Her family are half Russians and half Azeris. So she will be in Russia for a month, and then she will be in Azerbaijan for 2 or 3 weeks. She has to change her passport and also speak to the relatives there. So some of them are Greek, Greek Orthodox, and some others are Muslims. So a lot of work there, yeah. Prayer and sharing the gospel. And this is beautiful. Anyway, so since last year, God gave me some opportunities. Most of the time, I've been in Romania near Cluj. Cluj, it's a city in the middle of the country of Romania near the Hungarian border. Very beautiful city. You are welcome to come to visit us and to see the place. People are really welcoming visitors, so we are welcoming you, so you are welcome to come. I came here many times, so now you have to come, okay? Yeah, that will be really great to have you. But anyway, so we've been doing a lot of training, helping some other churches and encouraging other churches in evangelism and discipleship. And we started training with this church, and since last year, September, they had over 70 visitors, you know, people who came from the street, from the evangelism. And they were like, wow, this is working. So it's really, God has blessed that so much, and we pray that God will give us more opportunities. Also, we've been welcoming a lot of Ukrainians, you know, Ukrainians which are coming from Ukraine. You know, they passed through Romania, some of them staying there. So please continue to pray for the Ukrainians. Also, I was in Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan. We had a conference there. So the Russians from Moscow, St. Petersburg, Kaliningrad, they were able to come to visit with us there. A group, about 20 people from the church, they came, and it was so powerful. when we told them welcome, they start crying and they said, we cannot believe that someone still telling us welcome. So please pray. We have many brothers and sisters in Russia who love God, and they love you, and we love them, right? So we pray for them. Then this year, I don't know if I told you, my brother and his family, they are coming back to Cluj, to Romania. My brother is my younger brother, Daniel, and his wife, Christina, Samuel, and Olivia. So they are moving after 15 years of serving in Africa. They've been serving in Benin, in Togo. He's been a little bit Zambia and Zimbabwe. So they are coming back. They feel like God leads them to come back. So please pray for that also. They will be part of our team. We will be starting a Bible college in Cluj. And that's really, we are very excited about that. And I will be praying. And I want to pray especially for John. Father, thank you so much for this time, and thank you so much for these precious brothers and sisters here. Thank you so much for their life with you, for their testimony. And thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. And I pray for our brother John. Lord, I pray that you will touch him. Lord, we believe that there is nothing impossible with you, Lord, that you can heal, you can cure him, Lord. And we believe that everything is in your hands, Lord. We ask you, Father, we ask you not because we deserve, not because he deserves, but because of your mercy and grace. And also we pray for Joseph. Lord, we pray for Frank, Father, and his family. Just bless them. And anyone here, Lord, who suffers from any disease, Lord, we pray for healing, Lord. And for all of us, we pray that you'll open our hearts and encourage us, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to share with you about discipleship. Because I think this is something what is important for all of us. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you had at least one person in your life who had discipled you. Or you had a person you have been discipling, were discipled in the past. This is how it's working. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul is telling to Timothy, everything what you have heard from me, entrust to trusted men, trustworthy men, faithful men, who will teach others. And I like that the four generations of disciples, that Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and others who will teach others. And God is calling us to disciple. This is our main purpose. That's why we are here. We are here, yes, to become like Christ and to be changed into his likeness. And there will be the time when we will see him and we will be like him. But right now, right here, in this world, we are here to be disciples and to disciple. That's our purpose. Maybe I have my occupation, I have maybe a good job, or I'm doing something. But it doesn't matter where you are. That's our primary call. To be a disciple, to learn from Jesus Christ through a man, through the prophet, through the people in the church, because the discipleship is happening in the church. That's the place. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 to 16, God gives gifts into the body. And that's for the edification of the body of Christ. And people are brought into the church to be discipled, that they will grow, that they will learn maybe the first steps, and then, you know, to mature, and then to be able to discover their gifts, and then to go forward, and that what God has called them. Discipleship It's different for each one of us. But the steps are the same. Because we have the same manual, right? It's the Word of God. And then we have the same one which is helping us to grow and is teaching us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27, it's the anointing which comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who is giving the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, which gives the fruits, brings the love in the church. Because the disciple, a young man, or maybe a young disciple, a baby which comes in the church, he needs what he needs. He needs that love. He doesn't understand much, but love will help him come back. Love will help him, you know, to come and sit, and then will create a capacity for him to understand the Word of God, and then to receive the Word of God, and then to apply the Word of God in his life. So that's why the first thing what a person needs here, it's love. You cannot just bring a person and you teach him how to act as a Christian. You say, oh, come on. Straight up, you know, just don't look there, don't look there, just don't do that, don't do this. No, you come and love him. He comes and you just love him and help him and encourage him. And sometimes, you know, we don't have children with my wife, but when people coming, I mean, when you have a baby, you need to do two things, to feed and what else? To change the diapers, right? Maybe we like the feeding, but we don't like the diapers part, right? It's happening in a Christian life, the same thing. We just don't believe that people can do bad things. So they come to church and then, like, oh no, I don't want to change the diaper, you know? I don't want to see that. We need to understand that when people come to church, they will fail. So what do we do? We help them stand up. We help them. We teach them how to confess their sin. We teach them how to come to God, how to come to that throne of grace that they will receive grace and mercy for the time of need. How many times I should forgive my brother? Seven times? Okay, seven times that you are out. That's it. No, seven times 70. You give that person grace. And you teach him. And as you give grace, you think, okay, but maybe he will learn to do that and he will do that all his life. Like, you know, like, okay, I can do whatever I want. No, you know what grace will do? Grace will teach him. Will teach him to live godly life. To live in holiness. Grace will teach him that he is a righteous person. Grace will teach him that life with God is better than life in sin. Grace will teach him that I can trust God and I don't have to live in my flesh, but I can live in the Spirit and I can grow in the Spirit and I don't have to go back into the world, into the darkness. I can be free and I can walk with God and I can know God and I can follow God every day. That's what grace will teach him. Grace will give him the strength, the power to walk with God. And not only that, but will discover what God has prepared for him, for his future. So when a person comes, we love the person. Do you know that the Bible says that we are his garden? In John 15, it says that he is the wine dresser. He prunes us. He makes us beautiful. Like, and I don't know about the bushes and the trees, you know. Don't trust me with that, okay? But I believe that God knows what to do, what to cut. We think that I know what to cut. You know, we need to cut that and that and that. God says, don't touch that. I am the wine dresser. I am the one who changes. I am the one who stops sin. I am the one who takes a person. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the one who started the great work in you will finish it, right? He is the one who started. He is the one who will finish it. What? Okay, God, what should I do? You just love the person and teach him. If you love him, what you'll do? You'll teach him the basic. You'll teach him the word of God. You'll give him that what you have been receiving. Love and the word. And that word will go deep like a sword. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, will go deep like a sword. And we were talking a few days ago, and we, you know, like one of my friends, he's a psychologist in Romania. And he said to me, even things which were happening with your mother when she was pregnant and you were in the womb, bad things or good things have an effect on you. It's amazing. Like I can suffer from something what my mother had a shock when she was, you know, pregnant with me. Like when you are a baby and maybe they didn't hold you, maybe they didn't love you, or something happened in the past with the parents, and that can have such an effect on someone's life. But you know what the Word of God does? When a person comes and the Word of God, which is preached, or a word in season from someone with love, will come and will bring that healing and will cut that part off and will heal us. In Psalm 107:20, He sends His Word to heal. He wants to heal. He wants that we will receive the word with gentleness, because that word, what we receive with gentleness, will bring that healing into our hearts. That's why in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says that let the word of God dwell richly into your heart. That's why we need to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and sing to the Lord and speak to one another with this word of God, because the word of God will bring healing and will bring comfort and will bring encouragement. The Word of God will teach us. The Word of God will come and will correct us and will speak to us. You know, it's so amazing, because you try to correct someone and the person will go and do the, you know, opposite thing. But when the Word of God comes and there is that anointing of God and the power of God, and the person says, I heard God's voice. I told you the same. Yeah, but you're not God. We can speak to people so easily in the flesh. You know, like how many times, you know, just with my wife, and sometimes I don't like something, and I used to say, and then she was like, wow, you said it again. And then we made an agreement, and I said, okay, when I want to say something to correct you, or you want to say something to correct me, just remember that. Let's say, I love you. And then, you know, she did something, and I want to say it, and then, I love you. And she's saying, what did you want to say? I said, nothing. Now tell me. No, I love you. You know, it's so easy to look at people and to look at people in the flesh. And to correct them, to try to, you know, to do something, you know, come on, let's speed up a little bit that growing process. Pastor Tom said, I need preachers, we need to grow up. We need people to really do things in the church. We cannot speed up the process. It has to go God's speed. It has to go, you know, that God wants to go. You think about discipleship. John Mark went with Paul and Silas. I mean, with Paul and Barnabas. And then he turned back, probably discouraged, probably afraid. I don't know. But he went back. And then when Barnabas wanted to take him again, Paul says, no, I don't want him. I don't want him to come with us. But then later, when Paul was in the prison, he's writing, bring John Mark. Bring him. You know, when people fail, when people are in trouble, naturally we look and we say, no, I don't want that person in my church. I don't want him here. But does God want them in the church? Does God want a sinner to come here? Yes, God wants sinners. He doesn't want perfect people. There are no perfect people in this world. So when people coming and they sit and they hear the word and they receive that love, and then as they are in the church and they are baptized into the body of Christ, and they discover their place, and they will start to function, and the body is healthy and it's beautiful. This is what God wants. In Matthew chapter 10, 34, Jesus said, think not that I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And we think, okay, but we are the ministers of reconciliation. We are bringing the gospel. We are bringing the message that Christ died, that he won the war, that he won against sin and against devil and against death, that he's at the right side of the Father and he's interceding for us. Why then war? Why sword? You know why? Because this word which is going, what we preach, will bring that fight, the spiritual fight, that will bring that. You know, I remember there is a young man in Cluj, and two of my friends met him in the tram. And he was so troubled. He was like in a bad relationship. He was in the lady left him. And then, you know, he was considering suicide. He was considering, my life, it's without purpose. And they brought him to me. And I spoke to him maybe 6 times. And then he disappeared for 2 years. He disappeared. He didn't want to talk to me. He blocked me on the, you know, WhatsApp and phone and everything. So I just pray for him. Not every day, but I prayed for him. And then one day, someone sent me a message. Hey, I'm here. He said, I received Christ. He said, I'm going to this Baptist church. I invited him to my home. I said, what's happened with you for 2 years? He said, I hated you, man. He said, I hated you. I said, why you? Look, I'm such a nice person. Come on. He said, those words were like banging in my head all the time, in the night, in the day. And I hated. I couldn't take them out of my head. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him. And then one day he said, I gave up. And yes, I came to Christ. I gave my life to Christ. And then I went to this church. You see how he came to bring the sword, because he wants to separate. He wants to bring us from this world into his kingdom, from darkness to light. So when you speak, you know, to the family, and you're smiling and you love them, and they will almost throw knives at you, you know. Why is that? Because there is a fight in their hearts. But we continue. We continue to bring the gospel. We continue to encourage people to believe and to trust in God. in John 13, from 36 to 38, Peter was promising to Jesus that I will follow you wherever you go. I will go with you in the prison. I will go with you everywhere. And Jesus told him that you will deny me. You cannot go right now. Why was that? Because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. We cannot follow God in the flesh. We cannot follow God through our natural resources, power, strength. But I need that Holy Spirit. That's why in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise what the Father gave you. And you shall receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the most parts of the earth. He gave us the Spirit. And only through the Spirit we can follow God wherever we are. And we can go. And you know, it's interesting about going. We don't have to go far away. You know where we need to go? Out of the comfort zone. How big is that? I don't know. You know. But the comfort zone will keep people away from discipleship. Will keep people away from fulfilling God's plan for their life. And that's why there it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15 that there will be people who will be saved like through fire. There will be no rewards. For some people, you know, one of my pastors was saying that there will be a lot of smoke when he will be before Christ because all of his work will be burned. I don't want to smell like smoke. Do you want? It's not good. Even if that will be for a moment. But Lord, here I am. I want to go out of my comfort zone. What keeps me from being a disciple? What keeps me from taking someone to be my disciple? You know what does it mean? That you'll have to die a lot. You'll have to go a lot to the cross. To die to yourself. Because God is calling us to wash someone else's feet, to serve someone, to minister to someone, to love someone with the love of Christ. Maybe God is assigning someone to me I don't like. You know, there is this young man, probably I told you about him last year. He was in the hospital, mentally sick. He didn't know, you know, anything about the Bible. He was demonically charged. He wanted to kill himself several times. He had really bad thoughts. He was very, like, no one wanted to come to visit. And God said, just go and visit him and be with him. But what should I say? I'm not a doctor. He said, just tell him who he is in Christ. You know who you are in Christ. So if you know who you are in Christ, that's what you are called to do with a person near to you. Let me tell you what Christ wants to do with you. You can be forgiven. You can be holy. God wants to wash you. God wants to wash your feet. God wants to give you the best in your life. So you go, you take that person and you teach him. Teach someone to pray. It's the most beautiful thing that you pray with someone. And after a year, I don't know how long, you see the person just praying. With his own words, but he's praying. You know, and then you see the person going out and sharing the gospel with someone and ministering to someone and that person receiving Christ. And you think, that's what I want. That's what I want to see. Like John is saying, my children walking with God. Wow, that's beautiful. I love to hear that, that some of my children are walking with God. And to see someone you prayed for, someone you have taught, you know, like some people, they have no idea about the Bible. They don't know, you know, what is Genesis? What is Genesis, you know? Or what is Leviticus or something else, you know? Like, and you teach them and you open the Bible with them and you minister to them. One of my friends was asking me, I was visiting him. He was right before a surgery. And he said, why is my church weak? He said, I think the churches like yours, this without name, non-denominational churches are making my church weak. He was from a certain traditional church. And I asked him, let me ask you a question. He said, yes. I said, when did you read your Bible last time? He said, oops, 5 years ago. He said, that's what makes your church weak. Not reading your Bible. Not meditating on the word. Not going out to share my faith. Not praying for someone. Not coming out here in the church. Not gathering together. That's what weakens my church. But you know what? We cannot do that in the flesh. We cannot do that in the natural way, but we have to be moved by the Spirit. So my life with God at home, in the family, when we pray, maybe before the meal, or in the morning when we have devotional by ourselves, or with the family, with the children. And you know, I teach many people, and I pray with many people. And one day my wife says, you pray with everyone, you read with everyone, but you are not reading with me. Wow, that really just spoke to my heart. And I changed. I'm still growing in that. But I said, no, I want to be with my family. I want to read with my family. When I go to my parents, or I visit relatives, their capacity is just this, let's pray before the meal. Or maybe let's talk a little bit about the Bible. But they don't have much capacity. So I try to build on that capacity. So I disciple them little by little. And God gave us discernment how to minister, how to disciple someone. Not to scare someone off, not to destroy what someone else has built in that. But really, with the Holy Spirit, take that, what God gives me for a certain person. So discipleship, it's so beautiful. And I wanna read you these verses. And this is, and I will finish with this. Why is this important? In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, after this I look and behold the great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's why. That's why we go out to share the gospel. That's why we disciple people. You know, I'm not telling my neighbors, you are my disciple. I just love them. You know, when we need to shovel the snow, we go out. When we need to cut the grass, I go out with them. They invited me also to drink beer, but I'm not going with them. I skip that out. And they don't invite me for that, but they love me. At least what they're saying, but, you know. But we look for that opportunity to minister. And some people, you know, it's like with Jesus. Jesus had the one, John. He had the three disciples. Then he had the seven, right? He had the 11. And then he had the 70, the 120. So with some people, we are closer. I have a disciple in Romania. I meet every day with him for morning prayer, and we talk for an hour. And I ministered to him, and we talked different things from the Bible, doctrine. And then he shares with others. I have that time. But you know when? I sit at home and I do that. But he's driving to his workplace. And then he said to me, Pastor Julian, I decided, he's a construction worker. He said, I decided that I will give my Saturday to the Lord. About 4 months ago, he did that. He started to come out with me. In the morning, we go to the city. In the afternoon, we go to a village. He said to me the other day, since I did that, he said, my business increased. My finances increased. He said, I'm not working more. I gave one day to the Lord, but God gave me more money. Because he said, I did it by faith, and praise God for that. By the way, we need to pray for him. His son was in the hospital yesterday, and he said that he had some very bad bacteria in his blood. His name is Alex, the little son, 7 years old. And the doctor said that he died and he came back to life. I don't know how that happened, but it's amazing. So we need to pray for them, for little old Alex. Discipleship. Discipleship. Disciple your children. You know, the Bible college or the Sunday school will not disciple your children. You disciple your children. Your neighbors, praying for them. The city, your country. That's why I'm here. Some people were saying to me, okay, you are doing fundraising. I don't know what is that fundraising. I'm not, you know, doing any fundraising. God called me here to disciple people, and to pray for this country. This country is amazing. This country gave so much to the world. I'm here before you, and I've been to so many countries because people from your country came to my country, and they shared the gospel, and then they taught me. They spent years to teach me and to disciple me, and then to provide in God's plan, you know, to send me to Asia, to send me to Africa, to send me to other places, South America, to preach the gospel. And that's why I'm coming here. Because I believe that this country is now under attack. It was before, but now it's under attack. And we need to pray. And we need to encourage the churches. And discipleship is the key. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this amazing country, for the United States of America, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bring disciples out of the churches, Lord, that you'll encourage the churches, Lord, to walk with you, to know you, to follow you, Lord. Lord, we pray for the leadership of this country, for salvation for them, Lord. We pray for wisdom, and we pray for protection for them, Lord, from the enemy. Lord, we pray for the church leadership, Lord, wherever they are, whoever they are, Lord. We pray that you'll fill them with your spirit, Lord. Lord, all the evangelists, all the people who are preaching the word daily, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, that you'll bless and you'll continue to minister, Lord, to this country. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to use this country here and in the world, Lord, because your great commission is still here. You didn't come yet, Lord Jesus, but we are waiting for you to come. So please give us disciples, Lord. Put love in our hearts that we can go out and look for people who wants to be discipled. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we pray for Alex, Lord. We pray that you'll bless him and his mom, Delia, as they are in the hospital, Father. We pray for healing for that little boy. We pray, Father, that you'll bless his father, Alexander, Lord, and his decision to walk with you and to know you. Thank you, Father. And if you are here today and you are not sure that you are saved, you are not sure where you go after you die, I just want to encourage you. Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, died for the sins of the whole world 2,020 years ago. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. He wants to give you life. He wants to save you. Just believe in your heart that he died for you. Believe in your heart that he paid for your sins. And just tell him, Lord Jesus, I heard that you have defeated sin. I heard that you have defeated Satan. You defeated the grave. Please come in my heart. Be my Savior. Help me to walk with you. Help me to follow you. And if you are here today and you'd like to be a disciple, or you would like to have a disciple, Lord, make me a disciple. Give me a disciple. Lord, teach me how to disciple others. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.